for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, September the 2nd, 2002. Final service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Huntington, Tennessee is the teacher of the morning.
Again, so we can just pray, get you woke up as if you were sleeping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I ask that you touch each person here in their spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus. Just touch them. Take the weariness out in the name of Jesus. Take the poor health out. Anything that has this world has offered them and has attached itself, we command it to lose its grip this day in the name of Jesus. Father, take this crazy mouth and let it speak what you would have spoken. And have these wonderful ears hear and take it to heart. We love you, Father. We're here because you love us. We would be dead without it. And we thank you, Father, that it's all about Jesus. Because Jesus is deliverance. Jesus is healing. Jesus is all in all. And we praise you in that precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. But I'm going to say something, and if you hang on to it, we can toss it around back and forth in eternity. Okay? If you want to cast it aside, go ahead, but I'm going to say it anyway. God bless each of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a light thing. The words you speak are not a light thing. Angels and devils are both without power until human beings speak. Okay? We need to be careful. You've got an atomic mouth. Aim it properly, okay? I wish I had time to teach on this subject. Maybe someday I will. I have. I used to do a seminar on it. It really would set people free. They accused me of worshiping angels, but we don't because they're our servants. But I'll tell you what, when you have a servant that has never failed, you better respect them. Because on the other side of that coin, there are servants that did fail. They hate your guts. Their ministry is steal, kill, and destroy. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. There's been a lot of deliverance here, and there's been a lot of healing. There's been a lot of deliverance here and healing lost. And I speak in the name of Jesus Christ, don't let it be lost again. Amen. Hold on to those things that are precious. Yes. There's an awful price paid for it. If the Lord ever lets you get a glimpse of what he looked like, when they drug him up on Calvary. You know what he said to me one time? I never got the sense to look in his face when he talks. But sometimes he literally is present and I see him. And I never have the sense to look at his face. But all I seen was something that looked... I used to be a meat cutter. And it looked worse than a shattered carcass, folks. And he said, this was how I looked. And they didn't throw me down on that cross fighting. He said, I laid down. He says, I laid myself on that cross, and I want you, I remember what that cross looked like. Now, you know, when you have communion, you want to discern the Lord's body. It isn't you discern his beaten up body. You discern the people around you. You are the Lord's body. Okay? And as long as we keep him our head, we'll stay out of trouble. But that cross that he was hung on was full of slivers. It was filthy. It was covered with rotten blood, evil blood that deserved to be there. And there was maggots crawling in the cracks. Right? It wasn't a pretty varnish thing. Thank God we don't have one of them here. It wasn't pretty. If you put a cross that looked like the one that Jesus hung on in your church, people would throw up and leave. Okay? But thank God we can remember what was done that day. But see, as you've been ministered to and deliverance has been done, it's a complete thing. Don't let loose of it. The thief comes right away to steal, kill, and destroy. My intention is you what I'm trying to get across is you got it, keep it. Okay, can you get any clearer? Say it, I got it. I will keep it. In the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. And when he tells me I'm not healed, he's a liar. When that pain hits me again, it's a lie. It is a lie. There's nothing good in a lie. A lie is death. We do not receive death. We have the Spirit of life. And in the name of Jesus, I hold my healing. I hold my deliverance. Lord, give me the strength. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you go to John chapter 10, please. I love John chapter 10. It's in my Bible open to Proverbs, but some good stuff there, too. Someone says, what's your favorite part of the Bible? Because there was so often I say, it's my favorite part, you know, and then they hear me again, and that's, this is my favorite part. And I guess it all is, but it's my favorite part is what's needed for this situation. People say, I don't know how to pray. You know what? Open up your Bible, find the answer to your problem and pray it. And put in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ behind it. All right? That's prayer, folks. That's prayer. When the devil tries to come to you, he can't handle the word. Jesus answered the devil with the word of God. All right? You know what? It says in the 38th Psalm that God magnified his word above his name, right? Psalm 38, wasn't it? I think it was 38. He magnified. You know what magnified means? Made it bigger. God, in all that he is, in all that God is, he made himself bigger than that, his name. Isn't that amazing? Now think about this. Jesus is the Word living, right? See, Jesus is God's name living. The Word of God that God magnified. He made it. He put it up bigger than he was. For you to see, because we ain't able to see him. But he shared his intention for all time, and he put it to us. And he enlarged it over his name. And then his Son was sent. And his Son was sent, the Word of God living. So, even yet today, you know what people do with the Word of God? They try to kill it. They can't. See, they tried to kill Jesus. They didn't. He gave his life. But the Word of God, he gave his life, and that living Word raised up on the third day. He got out of that grave. Never again. Never again is somebody going to hit him in the face. He's going to come back and he's ruled with a rod of iron. All right? Every knee must bow the name of Jesus. Do it now. They got to bow? Do it now. We have the authority. Jesus gave us authority. I'm not getting that today. But you know it. It's been taught all weekend. You have the authority over this. But see, it says in Colossians that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say that. It's Christ in me. The hope of glory. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. All right. I believe you believe that. All right? You know what Christ means? Anointed. Anointed. You know these people going around blah, 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 waiting for an anointing? You know, they're going to get one. It's going to be a devil. And you're going to poke them right in the rib cage. You got the anointing. Don't wait. It happens when you move. When we took over this boys' orphanage a few months ago, I didn't have the money. Man, we'd pushed ourselves to the limit already. And I had to come up with like $3,700 in some odd sense to take care of this debt problem that was already in their face. And I prayed, and my mouth went and said, we'll pray for you. I'm sorry we can't help you. But out of my mouth says, we take the responsibility. I go, you know? So, okay, God, I said I would speak what you want. I've made a lot of enemies by speaking what God puts in my mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's how you find out your friends are. All right? But you know what happened? I called home. I wish Sheila was here. She could verify it. She's busy packing. But what happened was I called home And I says, honey, she says, yeah, you took the boys' orphanage. She talks the same guy, you know. But she says, you know what? There's a check for $3,700 and whatever it was the exact amount. So I says, put it in such and such account. I carry a card, and I leave one there for somebody that I can trust. And that's how we transfer money. I pray, and you pray for this. Devils, you're out of here. You can't hear this. I pray, because this is something the government's watching, these kind of money transfers. But that's how we transfer our money. She goes and hits the PIN number, puts the card in, as I give her instruction. But anyway, I was able to do that because the money was in the account, see? But see, when you work in a third world country, things get nearly impossible sometimes. I mean, you just have no idea unless you go and really, especially when you try to conduct some semblance of order. But God always has a way. And I pray for protection on that account, that all of a sudden the money don't get locked up and they think I'm some kind of a terrorist, which I am, against the enemy, who is Satan.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
You know, I thank God for each of you, and I thank God that let's change our thinking. You ever realize sometimes your thinking is stinking? Huh? You know, if you've been showed a problem, he's already given you the answer. You haven't asked him. Okay? Let's approach life that way. You know, the enemy comes right away for what? That's right. John chapter 10, verse 9:28. Those of you got to get there in a hurry. In verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. You know, a door can be locked too, right? It's good. But I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what that means? Some of you found pasture this weekend. You know what? Take care of that pasture. Don't let them devils come in. You're used to having these things stir you up and roll you around. Close the door. The door's there. Close the door. That's for you, honey. Okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, close that door. Don't let them come back anymore. All right? The reason he's fighting you so hard is because the devil's afraid of you. Let's get honest. He's afraid of you.
Yeah.
All right? He's afraid of you. That's why he's trying to break you.
Amen.
All right? Don't let him back in. All right? Be willing to get rid of any more that come, but don't let him in. All right? And but I'm saying that to everybody.
Amen.
All right? God told me to point at you, so I did. You know what? Didn't bother you a bit, did it? Not a bit. See? Hallelujah. You know, there's four of them back at me. You're five or ten. But me and my big mouth. Verse 10, it says, a thief comes. Cometh. Jameth. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it what?
More
would be enough. More abundantly. But see, we let our flesh get authority. We pay so much attention to the noise that he makes. I was busy trying to get a gutter drain up, whatever you call them, you know, on the eaves. Can't think of what you call them even anymore. But yeah, gutter. Yeah. And I just was in a hurry, and I took one of these plastic chairs you have on the patio, and I stepped up on that, went like that, and that thing flipped me. And I came down 200 pounds lit on this wrist. This laid here. Just snapped her just as clean. You could hear it, okay? And I'm a wild man. If you hang around me very much, you'll figure it out. I grabbed that hand and I went, you're healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And it hurt. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I looked at the brother who was with me. His eyes was this big. I was not going to have him pray for me. You know why? He believed his wrist was healed, was broken. That's what he believes, see? Boy, if they don't believe, don't let them pray for you. That's a soul prayer, and it can hurt you bad. It can kill you. And I said, no, don't pray. Sheila, get out of here. Don't look at my arm. Pray for it. And I know they could hear for 10 miles. She's praying. We went in. I sit in my recliner. I got one of them, too. I put my arm up like this. Keep it above your heart. And it was neat. God keeps people around to love me, and it takes a real love to love me. But, and they were concerned. They weren't babying me, but they're loving me. And I said, it's healed. I kept talking to it. It kept saying, no, I'm not. And I said, yes, you are. Risked in the name of Jesus. It kept getting later at 6 at night when this happened. I told them, if you really want to help me finish getting that gutter up, I got to leave for Romania in a few hours. And they said, we already done it, brother. So God is good. And so I got a special knot there for the doubters. You got to be a doubter, come feel. Okay? But at 5:30 in the morning, you know, I'd sit in that chair all night, and me and this arm kept talking. And it kept getting quieter. At 5:30, I'd fallen asleep, and I woke up. It was healed.
Hallelujah.
It was healed when I laid there and commanded to be healed. But it fully was manifested. Okay? So I everything's fine. I went to bed. Got up an hour or so later and got busy packing. And we get to Romania. I was only there a day or so, and I think Paul Norcross was with me. Someone we was talking to, Paul told the story of me. But we're pushing on this Dacia. These are wonderful cars in Romania. And they were wonderful because the same parts fit for 10 years. But now they become like us. I change them every year, you know. But anyways, old Dacias, you know, they run. They get you there. But they get stuck a lot. Well, if you drove through what they go through, you would too. And we're stuck. So we all get out and push. And there ain't no preacher preference, you know. You all get out and push. And so I went to push. And the reason I'm telling you this story is I want you to see how the devil can steal. My brain had been imprinted with the pain of a broken wrist. I pushed on this Dacia hard, and it hit me with the pain. See, and if you will keep the word in your face all the time and in your heart, it takes over. I backed up in the name of Jesus Christ, and I ran into the Dacia. And I said, wrist, you're healed in the name of Jesus. I hit the back of that Dacia. Boom, it just jumped out. Got a Holy Ghost push. It's never bothered me since. All right? But see, the enemy will come and steal, and he always, 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 you hear me? Always, say always.
Always.
He always will come to steal. All right? But, well, he always will come, too. That's what he comes for. But we don't have to let him, all right? And that's what I want you to realize. You don't have to be afraid of him. You don't have any, well, okay, I was going to call him what he really is, but, hallelujah. He really is nothing, okay? He's a formidable opponent because of what we permit him to get authority of in our life. But if you will just stand on the word, it's the word's problem. And Jesus is the word living. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've got coming from every direction. And it really works. I mean, you know, time and time again. I got to Romania and we were in a room about half the size of this, and there's three times this amount of people in there. And when they hear that somebody's got healing, they empty hospitals. People get up and leave the hospitals even. Spittles, they call them over there. A lot of spit. But anyway, they're crowded in there, and there's a woman, and women aren't very valuable over there in the gypsy culture. Most people there was gypsies. There's Romanians there too, but she broken her arm right at the joint. And you talk to a doctor, and they'll tell you that that usually never really heals. Okay? And it's a serious thing. And so because she was a woman and a gypsy, they just give her this fiberglass thing to put on under her blouse. And they didn't give her clean cloth to hold it, just so she had this dirty old rag to hold it. When I told that story, she got so blessed for me. You know, those Romanian people love me. I mean, you know, they love me. I know I'm being prayed for. Those of you that have ever helped with the orphanages, you are prayed for at least twice a day by every girl and every boy. It's an awesome thing. So you can't do anything else, throw a penny at it. I mean, it's a great thing. And you have, because I told Glenn he gave me a gift, and I told him it's going to go. I told him where it's going to go. So you all have gotten investment, but please keep praying. But where was I? Get the Holy Ghost to do for you, maybe what he did for you. The arm, okay. The arm. She got so blessed for me. And they love to, when they say hallelujah, they say, hallelujah! You know, I mean, it really comes up, you know. And when she did that with that broken arm, it was healed. See, the Word of God, the testimony of the greatness of God heals. I see it happening all the time. You know, sometimes it prepares people. But you got to know in reverse, the devil tries to do the same thing. In the name of Jesus Christ, you tell them, it's okay to tell the devil go to hell. You know, some churches say we don't want the word hell spoken. Well, I understand why. They're afraid. Because guess where they're all going to end up? They don't change. You know? Oh, don't talk about the devil. I was in a guy was in the parliament in Romania, in the House of Deputies. And they asked me to come to his home. He had a 5-year-old granddaughter, pretty little thing. And all little children are pretty. And I'm a sucker for kids. You get hit with that candy thing, you know, that Dr. Noel was talking about. It's like I run when I see it coming. But anyway, this little girl was 5 years old, and for 2.5 years, she had cried 24 hours a day. Now, this was a wealthy Romanian man. They lived in the villa, beautiful. And in fact, because they were going to give me that villa if I moved to Romania. But anyway, what happened was, God didn't tell me move. You know, don't jump on every opportunity. But anyway, the thing about it was is that I came in there, and there was a meeting out front, and these men were hating each other. It was one of them unity meetings that became the craze for a while. You got to give up your doctrine, you give up yours, you give up yours, you all take mine. And everybody's in there with that attitude. And everybody's willing to throw away the truth so they get along. That's not unity. Read Ephesians chapter 4, 1-4. Just read it. Say, Lord, minister to me. I said to God, if you know it's supposed to be my day off, and I try to take one every 3 weeks at least. And I said, so I do not want to mess with these clowns because I won't be nice to them. So just, you know, please, let me take care of the little girl. So they took me back to a bedroom, and she was in there, and her grandma, who was... It was her home. And we broke the curse. The little girl had been given. I can't get into cursed objects because we didn't get the time. Maybe another time, you know. But anyway, her grandpa had been given this beautiful vase and was sitting in the corner in the same room where all these religious warriors were, you know, and was sitting on a table. When I broke the curse on the little girl, and I've never had it happen, and maybe never will again. But when I broke that curse in the name of Jesus Christ, she could quit crying, and she smiled. That was one miracle. The other one was that vase blew up out in that room. You can imagine what they thought. There's shrapnel everywhere because the tabletop blew up. It's no lie. And you see, the name of Jesus has as much power as you're willing for it to have. How much risk do you want to take? How big do you want to see him work? But anyway, we walked out, and that little girl, I can't do the skip little girls do, you know. She got a hold of my finger, she got a hold of grandma's finger, she's skipping, and you'd think they'd been delighted, right? You know what those idiots, that, you know, an idiot, somebody don't use their brain, right? I've been that, hope not to be it too much, but they said, you made Satan mad, look what happened. And I still didn't know, see, they were out there, they're shuddering. Because we were in there rejoicing for 15, 20 minutes, you know. And there's, you know, Romanians usually are dark, and these people weren't very dark. They're pretty pale. And they said, you made the devil mad. And Grandma had already found out what happened. She says, it's okay, it's okay. Every curse, blow up my house. Blow up my house. Let's get rid of the curses. Blow up the house, Brother Carl. She's jumping up and down, you know. And I still don't know what went on, you know. You know, I never know till, you know, after the fact, it seems, because you're in the middle, you can't watch. But anyway, that little girl's still fine today. She's 10 years old now. And those guys are still fighting. They started on me, and I said, just a minute. You know, in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Don't mess with me. With the religious devils. I said, those of you that hate God, hate me. Oh, we don't hate God. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, those of you that are enemies of Jesus Christ, get the hell out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't know English, most of them, and they were fighting to get out of there. Three men stayed. Three men stayed, and they were the three that really did want unity. They're my friends today. When we see each other, there's a big hug. You know, there's love. But see, the thief comes to steal. As quick as that happened, he'd already set something up to stop the glory of what God had done. It's right away. How quick is right away? Right away. So expect it. I have watched so many people get healed. Honest folks, I lie not. Yeah, I do, and I have to repent, but I'm not lying about this. All men are liars, okay? So are your girls. But we got to keep it equal. They love me. Thank you, Father. You don't have to. I did. I forgot where I was going. I shouldn't have went there, I guess.
Healing.
I've seen thousands and thousands of healings. I've seen the dead get up. Five times I tried to raise the dead. They stayed dead. I didn't hurt them a bit. They already were dead, you know. But the sixth one, six usually not a good number spiritually. But that was the one that got up, you know. And it was right in our church. I'm such a boring preacher. The woman died during the service. And I recognized the death rattle. I've been around it. I heard the death rattle, and I looked to see who it was. It was my mother-in-law. They were coming up to visit. And I knew, the Lord said, yep. I laid my Bible down. I command the spirit of fear to leave. And one of the women in the church wouldn't let loose. She ran out of the house screaming. She didn't know anybody died. Nobody knew yet. My father-in-law was sitting there, and his wife was slumped onto his shoulder, and he hadn't picked up that his wife had just died. And I said to my associate, I said, Eric, come on. Didn't say why, I just said, come on, we go back there. And I commanded, I seen the angel of death. You know, I don't think the angel of death is a bad angel. It's just an angel doing the job. I've seen the angel of death, but I've never seen it really be bad. But I told, in the name of Jesus Christ, you back up. And it backed right up. And it just stood there. I didn't tell it to leave. I guess God didn't tell me to say that. But it just stood there. And I said, Helen, in the name of Jesus Christ, come back to life. She didn't move. And I just spoke in tongues and I commanded again. She kind of straightened up. I'd grab her. She'd gone off the chair. And I prayed, and I didn't see anything happen. Eric is a big, strong guy. I said, lay her over there on that. There's a sofa over here. I said, lay her on that sofa. He picked her up, and he looked at me like, hey, Carl, you know she's dead. But Sheila knew what was going on, and she said, should I call 911? And I said, only if God tells you to. And she disappeared, and I knew she was on the telephone. My wife was on her knees. You want prayer? Sheila Fox will split the hairs on your head. They need to be. She don't mess around. God bless. I am such a blessed man. Whoa. I got the best wife in the world. And don't fight with me, guys, because I also got the good arm. But for me, the best. Better keep peace around here. You got the best for you. And I'll be praying for Juanita. But the thing is that my wife came in. I didn't know what else to do. So you know what? The word is alive. It's real. It's living. I went, and it was amazing. Most people leave me in the first sentence. And I picked up the word, and I started teaching again. And every eye was glued on me. Their ears were wide open. And I finished the teaching. Sheila come in, and she sit down on the floor beside her mama, and there was tears coming down. So all she did is she just touched her mama's hand. Her mom sat up, and she says, it's okay, honey. I'm back. But you know, Sheila's brother and sister don't like me. Believe it or not. Can you imagine anybody not liking me? And I can introduce you to some people. But I love them because the word says to love them, and it's easier than hatred. I used to be a hater. But anyway, she got back to Las Cruces. We lived in Albuquerque then. And her brother and sister says, he hypnotized you. He did some kind of bewitching on you. Her sister's a witch, by the way. And anyway, we're taking you to the doctor. And Sheila's dad's a retired B-52 guy, you know. He flew the B-52s. And so the Germans got the Beaumont Hospital now. It's not available for our GIs. They've been kicked out of there. I don't know if you know that, but there's so many Germans in one of those closed bases in New Mexico. It ain't funny. Been there for 5 years. But anyway, that part you might want to erase anyway. But the thing is that this doctor had been treating them because they've been retired since 63. This doctor's been, you know, treating Helen. And she's had a bad problem with heart murmur and blood pressure for years. So he's the doctor that checks her out. And he says, he said to Charlotte, you can say what you want, but, you know, your mother doesn't have a heart murmur anymore. And her blood pressure is absolutely perfect, you know. But of course, God got her up healed, right? See? But the thief did try real hard to steal her mother's life. She's still alive. Sheila just got back. You know, we got back from Nashville picking her up at the airport at 1:30 in the morning, Thursday morning, and we left our house at 10 to come here. And she was back there seeing her mom and dad. They're doing good. But anyway, the thing is that the devil will do everything he can to steal your healing, to steal your life, to steal your deliverance, and he's very convincing. It's another thing you need to watch. I wish I had the time to teach on this. I taught on this one time, and there was a lady in Romania that was one of the most powerful prophetess, she thought. She was a legend in her own mind, and a lot of people followed her. And she came forward and dropped her knees in front of the church, and she said, "Brother, please take me to the Lord." And she repented. Now she really is a powerful prophetess, Sylvia. But I taught how to know a false prophet. Because just because the prophecy is accurate that you get, familiar spirits will whisper in your ear and it will sound, they masquerade the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay? But anyway, and that's what she was doing, see? And as I taught the word, because the word is sharp, it just cuts right through. And I told the guys with me, was you with me when that happened? Okay, well, whoever I had, it says that you sit next to Sylvia and don't let her get out of this room, out of the church. So whatever you got to do, don't let her out of the church. And anyway, she got set free because you'll get revelation that's not right. You have to always check it. You got to check what I'm saying. You really got to check what that guy says. You really do. Because he's got a pure heart, but we all can make mistakes, okay? And that's what I'm saying, but please. But anyway, he will do everything he can to try and steal. He'll try to convince you that you really aren't set free. That devil, the curse really isn't broken. Well, I got news for you. A curse and the devil are not the same thing. Years ago, when the Lord was teaching me this subject, I said, "You need to show me." I used to say it so much, and then all of a sudden he started showing me things. That's how I'd see him. But the way I found out, and then I found it in the scriptures to prove it. He told me where to go. But he showed me. I said, "I need to understand this business." He showed me a wall with no end. And I knew as I seen it. You know, when you get a vision, don't run somebody for interpretation. Stick with the Lord. He'll tell you. All right? Same way with a dream. He'll tell you. He really will. If he'll do it for me, he sure will do it for you. But anyway, I seen, and this was really a powerful wall, but he took me closer to the wall. It had all these little doors in there. And as I looked, I seen these little devils with keys. And they're opening it up and going right through. I said, "But this is the wall of protection." God says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, look at those devils." He says, "Yeah." He says, "They legally can do that." I said, "Well, what are those doors?" He says, "They're curses." See, a curse and a devil is not the same thing, okay? But recognize that they're so closely related, it's not a big deal one way or the other. Except that is the door. And until you get the curses out of your life, which we've been working on this week, until we get them, see, that seals them doors. But your habit patterns of your mind that the devil helped you get will try to convince you that that door still could be opened. All right? You leave the door shut. Because God takes away the key and he seals that door. And that curse loses its authority, which means the habit pattern of alcoholism, sex addiction, whatever, is broken. And if you will accept it, you got it. But the enemy comes to steal, and he will do the best he can to steal that deliverance away. I've seen it happen right in meetings. Right in meetings, because there'll be somebody that wants to show off with their devil spirits. And they'll convince people they've been just delivered. Because they'll fly, someone will fly off the handle. Those of us that are ministers, we got to make sure that they don't get by with that. Because I sit and watched it here one time. And I ran over there real quick because the Lord just showed me for a reason, okay? Because it'll even happen here. It's powerful of a place as this is, you know? But this person that had been delivered and was being convinced, you really weren't delivered. See? You got to believe the Word because the Word is life. Why would you want to believe death? Right? Why would you want to believe death? You're set free, okay? Everything that's been removed is gone. That's for every one of us, all right? There may be stuff come up. You know, as you peel the onion, you find some more worms in there. It's okay. You don't throw away the whole onion. Right? But don't get in despair and think that you've missed it. That's part of what the enemy does to steal. All right? Do you know, I can't remember what culture, their word for actor, you know, actor like John Wayne. And it's one of my favorites, too. But he'd have made a good preacher. That was his real call. But, you know, they... I can't remember what country it is, but in their culture, they call actors counterfeiters. Because, see, that's what a good actor does, is they're a good counterfeit. And that's what the enemy is. See, Satan can't create anything. He can't even curse you. He takes the things that we do to leave ourselves open, or the words that we speak against each other, so those devils can ride on it. See, Jesus really broke his authority, but once he broke it, he says, here, do something with it. Do something with it. And you got a choice to do good or bad. Life or death is in the tongue. Why, if Christians can't curse one another, why would James, Jesus' half-brother, he hung out with somebody pretty cool, grew up with somebody dynamic, right? And James said we shouldn't curse, right? I don't think he was an idiot. I don't think Paul was either, and he told us to bless and not curse, right? So we've got to be careful. We've got to break the habit patterns. Break those habit patterns. How do you break a habit pattern? You replace it with good. Make a habit. Make a habit of speaking the Word. Make it a habit. Replace the habit of... someone else used the word bitch. So I use bitch and complain. Change it. Change it. Do you hear me? Change it. We can go onward and upward from this weekend. Seriously. Someone got their spiritual name this weekend. And it's what?
Freedom.
Hey, stand up. Does that fit her?
Yeah.
Huh? Freedom? Man, what a privilege. If God ever gives you your spiritual name, you know that the devil's going to try to steal it, baby.
All right?
But he's going to try, okay? That's as good as it can get. If you hold on. But you came in with a lot of bondage, didn't you? You know why do you have all that bondage? Because the opposite was the truth. When you see somebody afflicted and tormented, the real truth is the very opposite of what you're seeing. We have got to get to the point where we see, think, taste, touch, and feel truth. We've got to take and retrain our reflexes. I mean, I used to be a warrior in the natural. And it really scared me. I was ministering to a man recently, and he flew off the handle, and we were this close. And my old reflexes, I know how to kill. I'm ashamed to say it. And I can move fast. I might be 60, but I can move real fast. And I know where to hit. And that started in me. Praise God, the habit pattern of life is in me. But what it scared me, you know, the holy scare, you know, that was still there. I mean, I didn't sleep that night, I'll be honest with you. But I warned him, don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever. I don't care if you're 2 feet taller than me. It's just a bigger target. Don't do that. Just don't do that. You know, because see, you don't know. The enemy remembers your past. He's got it memorized. That's his creation, if there is such a thing, okay? He's got it memorized. And he knows the buttons to hit. And you've cut all this circuitry. But he's got it. He sneaks in and gets it short-circuited so he can bang, just like that. You know, steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm not saying this to be afraid. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Every one of you, I listen close when people minister. When there's curses removed, I expect blessings to be put in. And if they don't, I step in and speak them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I praise God that there are some powerful ministers going on here because that's what I heard. See, you remove a curse, you put a blessing in. Because what does the curse do? It ministers evil. 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 Generational curses, you know, that are going way back. And probably, maybe when you were your papa's spermie, that evil was probably started to work already. I don't know when it starts. But the day that that curse is broken and there's a blessing spoke, the blessing is so much more powerful than the curse. It starts ministering. I had people call me back a few days afterwards. It's, what did you do to me? I said, well, what, you got a problem? No, but I feel so good, I'm not sure if it's legal. You know, but the thing about it is that blessing will start. So don't give up. Sometimes you pray, you minister, speak those blessings. And do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't see anything, the Word still says they're healed. All right? It says they were healed. Speak it. It will come to pass because the blessings are there ministering. Amen? It's amazing. You know, a lot of times we get to see, boom, that quick. But not always. But go to Galatians chapter 3, please. Just everything that's been taught has been good. Okay? I'm just trying to build upon and nail it down. All right? That's what the Lord told me, to get it nailed down. And obviously that was the heart of everybody because I heard it all morning long. But chapter 3, verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently, by evidence, set forth and crucified amongst you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit of by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith. You want to be a blessed people, you be a faith people. And when you're now operating in faith, you're under the law. And Jesus, 3:13, says, curse the man, hang on the cross, hang on the tree. But see, the thing about it is he redeemed you from the curse of the law. When you don't walk in faith, you're walking under law. That redemption, you walked away from the redemption. This is the main way how Christians get cursed. Okay? Bang! I just shot another sacred cow. But it's the truth. It's the truth. I really encouraged the other day, and I say it again. Ask God to open your eyes and read Galatians chapter 3. It is amazing, and it becomes so clear. There's only two places to be, either under faith or under the law. And when you catch yourself failing your faith and slipping under the law, ask God to forgive you. Get back under faith. Don't condemn yourself. You know, don't do that, okay? But anyway, verse 2, he says, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith. Are you so foolish? Am I so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit. Are we now made perfect by flesh? See, just because your flesh is trying to say I'm not healed, it's dead. Racism is a flesh issue, and yet the church is divided over it. Should not be so. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be vain? You know, vain is empty, just void. Just a big black hole. We don't want to be in a big black hole, do you? Ooh, no. Those black holes the universe they talk about, they say they consume themselves. Isn't that amazing? See? It's our job, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That be us. You say you're Jew, you don't know if you're Jew or Gentile. You don't know where all your relatives slept. Okay? But either way, you still got to accept Jesus to get there, all right? It's the way it is. I didn't write the book, but that's what it says. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. The only way you're going to get the promise of the Spirit is through faith. You want to have a healing ministry, you look at the gifts of the Spirit. The sixth one is faith. You don't become a faith minister overnight. And you don't stay a faith minister if you're not careful. Because the first bucket is love. And joy doesn't get a drop until love overflows. And then it finally gets coming. The love has to keep going. And the joy fills up. And then it goes to, I believe, is peace, right? But, you know, but the thing about it is, now by faith, hope, and love, these three, the greatest is love. Lord, say this with me. Lord, teach us how to love. He's the only one that can. Amen? But see, that's why some ministries dry up, because the love stops. You know, you can't say, I've been there, I've done it. You got to keep doing it. And I'll tell you one of the ways it gets dried up. Yeah, stand up a minute, because I'm going to use you as a bad example, but you are a good one. But would you please stand up? This man right here.
This
Jack guy. Last night he shared about all the projects that he's got and everything. And you pray for this man. You know why? Because the temptation of getting that job done can rob the love out of his heart. Serious. He didn't share it last night, because I checked and make sure he wasn't bragging. I check when I talk. I hope someone checks when I talk. He was speaking from his heart. He's speaking from love. But that's pray and keep that man, that he's a love-moved man. All right? Thank you. There's a prayer request, all right? Amen? See, that's, you know, pray for me. I got a lot of projects. And they're not mine, they're the Lord's. But pray for me that I don't get so busy taking care of these orphans. You know, we're so blessed. I don't know how many churches start every month. We support three gypsy ministries. And we're not doing the thing where we make them dependent on us. Put our name over it. Other denominations, and I can say the name, some of you go to their church, go in behind us and steal once the churches are built. And then they say on the famous television program, we're planting a church a week. They're stealing a church a week. You know what they do? They take some people and they bring discontent against the pastor, the man that sacrificed. And then when his church, they kick him out of the church that he birthed. And then they take it. It's happening all the time. It comes from the United States of America. Yeah. I tell you, you know, it took me a year to learn how to forgive them. And once I really had forgiven them, I went to the man that's the head pooba, you know, like Fred Flintstone, his little club he belonged to. But anyway, and I confronted him. You know how I did it? We both were invited to speak at this precious pastor, real hero of Christianity in Romania, Julian Calu. If you ever get a chance to meet Julian, you've really met a man of God. This man risked his life every day during the communist years. They'd beat him and throw him in the street. He'd go start a new church because he didn't dare go back to that one. What a man. And all the time he's having babies and raising his kids. When the revolution, the bullets were flying, Julian was going around laying hands on the wounded and praying for him. They didn't even duck. He just walked right through the bullets. What a man. Guarantee you ever go to Romania with me, if Julian's alive, you will meet Julian. I have the honor of being his co-pastor in his church. Of course, he takes advantage of it. When I'm there, he says, all right, you take care of it. But it's okay. He needs a break. But anyway, his oldest son was getting married. And to me, it was an honor to be invited. And I got there, and he said, I want you to speak. That's an honor anytime. He said, I want you to do the mop-up. This other guy heard it, and he got real offended. After all, he went to a famous Bible school in Cleveland, Tennessee. And anyway, but he isn't in that particular ministry, okay? Once he graduated, he got stolen by this other one. Just to set that straight. Lord, forgive me. But no, I'm not guilty. I didn't do it. But anyway, the thing about it is that... So I taught on what marriage is about, what the Lord gave me. And I said that's an example for the church. The church is supposed to be an example. And then I turned around and I looked right at him. He was sitting right there. Because he insisted on finishing up. So, And I pointed right at him. And I spoke the words the Lord gave me. He's in front of everybody. When I got done, I sat down and he spoke. And I just sat there quietly speaking in tongues. And the reception was at his church. And it's a nice one, building. And I just, you know, I was enjoying myself. I mean, I'm amongst my family, you know, I'm having a good time. And he finally came over and says, "We need to talk." I said, "I think we have." He said, "No." He says, "We need to talk." I said, "Okay, what you got to say?" He said, "I got some of my ministers I want." I said, "I'm not going to fight with you." He says, "Brother, just come, please." I said, "Okay." And he repented in front of those ministers. You know, and so what they did is they elevated him to make him the head pooba over all Eastern Europe. And now he's back doing it again. You know, but, you know, you don't need to know the man to pray for the man, okay? Because you know what? Deep down inside, he's just been wrongly taught.
Yes.
He's been seduced.
Yes.
Because there's a real man in there. Because I confront him in front of everybody because God gave me the courage and told me to do it. And he received it like a man. And he got his ministers to be witnesses when he repented. That's a man, okay? But see, the bottom line is that we are not in competition. And the people, none of those churches are mine. I don't put my name over them. The fact is, there is hardly anybody, including you, that know the name of my minister, do you? If you want to write a check, I'll tell you. But no. But see, cash is real good, you know. But the silent, you know, money offering, not the clanging type, you know. But no, please. But most, hardly anybody knows, because I believe that the hardest miracle that Jesus done for us is to make ourselves with no reputation. Okay? You know, if you will permit, God will do great miracles through your hands. But if you're going to get your head all so fat that the expandable caps won't fit anymore, you can't get through the door, he ain't going to hurt you like that. He loves you too much. And that's a big part of it. See, don't depend on the man. You depend on the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And go to John 14. Please. Verse 10. It says, "Beloved, believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, that the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Don't ever forget that.
Amen.
Have the heart to speak his words, and because he dwells in you. You know what dwelling is? Somebody asked me, "Where do you dwell, Carl?" I'd say Lake Hamilton. Right now, we're all dwelling at Lake Hamilton. My address is in Tennessee, but I'm dwelling here, see? And see, the Lord is dwelling in you to the amount that you permit, only to that amount. See, let that indwelling be back and forth. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." And I had some critics that was chasing me. The way they generally chase you is they try to turn people against you within people that you work with, associates. So finally the Lord says, go right to them, open up your Bible, and read verse 11 right in their face. And I did. And I says, "Now let's talk about your works." You know, well, we didn't talk about their works, but they didn't stick around. But see, if you're doing what the Lord tells you to, then you can say, "Believe me for the work's sake." You know, is signs, miracles, and wonders following? If they're following that man or woman, guess what? He's doing the will of the Lord. That's what registers us, what's falling in behind us. That's what registers. And don't you ever get caught in a trick of turning around, trying to watch the miracles and try to move. You ain't built that way, okay? Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. You know, we get so crowded. I shared about my wrist and that lady with the arm. Last time I was in Romania, we were doing a street evangelism. And it's a ball. You know, we go in the darkest place we can find. Get these gypsies doing music. The dark people like music. They're dark of heart, but they just come out, you know. I tell you what. Until you hear a zambal, you haven't heard a musical instrument. And only the gypsies got them. I've never seen one in America. Yeah, I did in a gypsy church in America. But anyway, all of a sudden, the Lord showed me five witches. Said in there. It's no big deal. You know? But, you know, the Lord shows you those things. That's why I discern the spirits. You need to know who's your friend and who's your enemies are. Amen. Well, the next thing that comes is the police. Yeah, because what we're doing is illegal. You know, illegal, you know what the answer for illegal is? Take them to a vet. It's just a sick bird. So what's against the law, then we got a problem, okay? And caught that, huh? Okay.
10 minutes later.
Yeah. My jokes are, you know, pray for my humor, okay? So sometimes, you know. But anyway, John Colleen, who is one of the most dynamic evangelists, I'm not taking away from anybody, but John Colleen, I have never met an evangelist like this man. I've never, because the stuff that happens. He'll go into a village where pastor's struggling, because I went with him one time. They had 13 people that came to church. We went in and done the same thing on Saturday afternoon and evening, and there was 97 people in church the next day. This is what this man does. He's one of the ministers I support. I mean, he's real. He's real. Doesn't have two nickels rubbed together or lays. He don't care. The Lord provides. And I'm blessed that we have the privilege of supporting this man financially and spiritually. But anyway, Jan says, preach the word, preach the word. I take care of the police. They're my friends. I came there one time and he was on the run. I said, what's the matter? He says, I got all these tickets for evangelizing. See, he's applied for permit. They don't give it to him. See? So there was like 15 million lay there. Because I asked one of the guys with me to total it up. And then we gave him the money. So get that pay. Send your wife down. And and he's saying they're my friends, you know. So he's over there arguing with them. And they can really, I mean, you know, their arms are going. And we're just preaching. And it was amazing because that was starting to get attention. And the lady that her arm had been broken, see, God always provides. She came. Now, men don't kiss women in public or vice versa. This woman came in front of everybody, got the mic in my hand, and she lays a big old sloppy kiss right on my lips, you know. My wife was there. You know? I grab her and I push her back, you know. And I knew what she wanted to talk about. I said, don't tell me, tell them. And she gave a testimony. The spell of the witches just started breaking. The police lost their authority. Four of the five witches run. The other one has pretty big crowd with me that time from America, and I told these, there's three women, one was Sheila. I said, surround that lady. Just love her. And she had cursed 22 children. And their eyes were like this. We started praying, and it was just as fast as just going like this. Eyes obey in the name of Jesus. The kids were healed. And the healing had started happening. And see, adversity is opportunity, if we'll just believe it. You know, the school I went to and the things that I'd done before I came to the Lord prepared me to work with those kind of people. Okay? But God's prepared you to work with the kind of people. And in the name of Jesus Christ, get off your butts. Okay, you hear me? Get up and move. Get up and move. Quit waiting for your ministry. What, you think he's going to waste his time telling a deadhead something? Or dead butt? Tush? Whatever. Come on. He helps the ones who are moving, but what if I make a mistake? Some of the greatest successes I've had was repenting for a mistake and humbling myself so God could make it. Honest, folks. The night the gypsy work started, I had a brown shoe and a black shoe on. And here's this pale-skinned guy coming in with all these dark people, and they're saying, oh, yeah, and they're just thinking about rolling me. And I told them, we Americans aren't real smart. Your shoes match. Those of you got shoes. I don't even match mine, you know. And they laughed, you know, the ice broke. I mean, you know, I looked down and I thought, my God, how could I have done that, even if it was dark? Well, I found out my brother Paul, if I don't have shoes, I can wear his. They fit. But see, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. God can do more with your mistakes because he can do nothing with your inactivity. All right? He cannot do anything. The power it takes. I had a train man tell me this, my uncle. He said when they get out to the mountain, near the mountains, they had to stop and take on more locomotives. He said one more of those locomotives had nothing to do with climbing over the Rockies. That one was just help to get that big train going again. Because when they left Chicago, there's a lot of pusher locomotives left. But the power it takes to get moving is nothing. I mean, it's just awesome. And it takes hardly any power to keep going once you have the momentum. And see, a dead ship in the water, the amount of power it takes to get that ship to even move. But a ship going in the wrong direction, they could turn the rudder. And they can turn quicker than a dead ship can move. All right? So what I'm trying to tell you is get off your butt. Okay? You know, quit waiting on the Lord. One time, I got so tired of hearing this waiting on the Lord stuff, and there's some truth to it. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, yeah, he said, I get sick of it too. He says, you know what? I never sinned. I'm not caught in time. You are. You sinned. He said, I can reach in wherever I want. He says, all this waiting on the Lord, I'm just waiting on them to start moving so I can do something. It's the truth, folks. You know, you say, but I don't have any place where to let me minister. Well, quit trying to butt your way in. Why don't you go down to a rest home?
Amen. Yep.
Them people got one foot on the banana peeling, the other one next to the grave.
Right. Right.
All right?
Yep. Right?
And a lot of them get healed. They're ready.
Amen.
I've seen so much healing. I used to have time to do that. I still sneak in there when I can. But, you know, there are so many ministries that just aren't done. Just stopping and seeing people that are sick. Even if you don't know anything else, do it, smile. But see, as you start moving, God will entrust more and more to you.
Amen.
All right? Because you're moving. Then He can move. He can steer your ship. You know, and inactivity is how we lose our healing, too. You got to move forward. And I need to wrap this up pretty quick. But I was in Portland, Maine. I had two women. I've told this maybe here, but these two women both had hepatitis. One was C and the other one was something else, but they both were death sentence. They were death. They'd been death cursed. They were so yellow that looking at their eyes, you know, the whites of their eyes looked like pork sausage. Just awful. And God healed them both. And I gave them the same instruction from the Lord. And the instruction was, go tell everybody what the Lord done for you. The first woman I prayed for, she was healed. The yellow had gone away. She went and she sat down in the back row. Before the service was over, she was all yellow again. The thief had come and stolen. The other lady went right down the rows and she told everybody. And some religious people complained, I can't hear you because of her. I said, shut up and listen to her then. She's obeying. People always complain when you obey. She got done in the church, nobody else to tell. She went and stopped the basketball game. You got these big, it's a black community and part of town, and these big, you know, these kids are 14 or 17 foot tall, it seems. Now they're dropping the ball from above, you know, and they're really playing basketball. These kids were pretty hardened kids, and they've had a hard life. And here's this little gal out there. She's just full of fire, and she's telling them. They're black and she's white. They ain't even seeing the race thing. They're just listening. And their hearts were open. You know what? She's still alive, but she's still out there telling people. She's still healed, yeah. See, first thing is your confession. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, you was healed. I believe everybody's healed. When you pray, I believe it. I know it because I believe the word. When I broke my neck and my arm was just dragging like this, and they tried to give me a prescription, go see a head shrinker, you know? Look at that baby. It's the best arm in the house. Don't mess with it. Okay? You know, God is real. If you confess the truth will set you free. Freedom, right? Freedom. See? And when I told her what her spiritual name was, she was doubting whether she was free. And she was free. She'd just been ministered to. I don't remember who ministered to her. But she'd been set free. See, It's if you got to hang on to it. You do not let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy. You have authority over him.
Amen.
Eve got in trouble when she started listening to the clown.
That's right.
Okay? She hadn't listened to him. But she did. And she got thinking about it. So, you've been healed and we're given a new heart. And you were given a new heart. The enemy's going to try to give it a little ache once in a while or something. And you can consider that ache and let him bring back the old heart. Or you say, no heart, you are healed. Jesus said, say to that mountain.
Amen.
Okay? And he, one of the ways one of the examples he set was when he cursed that fig tree.
Yes.
That baby dried up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, no fruit, dried up. But see, let much fruit abound. There is so much power here. You know, I know for every one of you is an effort to be here this morning. Some of you got a long drive, which I'm in that party. And, you know, if we get on the road, we'll get home quicker. But you've made the effort to stay. Your brother passed on. You've stayed to the end. And God bless you. And I want to pray for you. I want everybody to pray for you. Would you come up, please? You know, let's give this brother a loving send-off in the name of Jesus. I love you, too. See, it's when we're tried that we find out how big Christ is in us. All right? You know, if I say I love you and you love me, that's the reward. But when you love someone that hates you and spits in your face, then you know how to love. All right? You know, I learned how to love God. You love the body of Christ. They're the ones that are going to hit you the hardest. They're the closest, okay? But our job is to love, all right? And sometimes when a man is moved by love, and this man happens to be, I caught him at it, time and again. But I just want you all to stand. I just want you to raise your hands out in love, because we want to send him home safe. And Father,
we just
praise you for what you have done to my brother, as you've taken bad and turned it good. And it's getting better every day, and we praise you for that. We give you the glory. And Father, I thank you that from here he's going to a time when the family's heart's going to be broken. Give him the words of comfort, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let him speak what Jesus would have him to speak in the name of Jesus. Cause him, Father, to be able to walk through the fire without any singe in the name of Jesus. We minister and we stand in ministry with you, brother.
Amen.
As you go to minister to your family.
Amen.
And I break the authority of the RC church.
Amen.
That will try to come in and bring in the garbage.
Amen.
And in the name of Jesus, we send angels in there. We don't do war. Angels, you do it in the name of Jesus, that everybody can have ears. I break this curse that stands in the Hispanic people of, I was born a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic. And in the name of Jesus, there's a lot of dynamic Christian Catholics, I want you to know. I'm not picking on anybody. But I know there's going to be people there, Father, that need Jesus. And I thank you that my brother, not only will he have the words to speak, but there'll be others there helping for that. And I just thank you that you comfort him, Heavenly Father, and that we all have the hope of knowing one day soon, we're going to all be together. And I just instill and impart that hope into you.
Amen.
And during this time, in Jesus' name, I thank you for blessing every traveler, whether it's just across the street. I speak blessings on every traveler in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. All right, yeah, okay. And I thank you. Safe travel. It's a holiday weekend. There's a lot of killer devils out there. And in the name of Jesus, we break down the authority in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we want to pray for this sister, but my wife just pointed at your knee one more time. So, Father, as my brother drives, as he drives, Father, I don't care what's been said. I ask, Father, you just raise his expectations that tissue that's been damaged and wore out, that as he's driving, it just mysteriously is replaced. And we'll give you the glory, Father. He don't have time to become a bionic man. He don't have time to limp either. Can't run fast limping. And in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you. I thank you for blessing this man mightily, exceedingly abundantly above more than he could ask or think, or than he has willingly served. In Jesus' name. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
I love you. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thanks, sweetheart.
And why don't you look at me? Let loose the rejection right now. Okay, just let loose of it. Just let loose, okay? All right? There's nothing wrong with you. Okay? Honey, look at me. You have nothing to prove. Jesus proved you worthy. Okay? And you're just in the rapids in your life.
Hallelujah.
Just hang on. He won't let the boat upset, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the boat, okay? And he'll keep you from banging on the rocks. Okay? What you got to watch out for is the pity party thing.
Amen.
All right? It's a tough one, okay? And in the name of Jesus Christ, I remove the shame.
Yes.
And the guilt. Mm-hmm. And the unforgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you.
And this is going on so much in the church, folks.
Yes.
And we want to see it turn. I want to see it turn in my sister's life in the name of Jesus Christ. And just don't give up, okay? But you know what? Your hope is in Jesus. And that's who you don't give up on. All right? And in the name of Jesus Christ, I break all these curses. I break the curse of broken vow. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask for forgiveness on her and her husband. In the name of Jesus, Father.
Her ex-husband.
Ex-husband. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak great mercy. And honey, just pull that rid of bitterness out in the name of Jesus. Sheila. Just pull that rid of bitterness out of her heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just thank you, Father, for this repentant heart, Father. I thank you, God, that every root of bitterness be dissolved right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for this great meekness and humility in my sister's heart, Father. But I especially thank you, God, for those thoughts of being able to cast down all the wicked darts that gets thrown at her in her heart, Father, that she can grab a hold of them, that she can just decide not to go there. Real quickly, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, we bind all this that her ex-husband keeps throwing up at her and doing against her.
Yes.
We break that assignment that he's tried to make to harass. And I bind that in Jesus' name. Break that assignment that he's, Satan, you're a liar. And I bind you. You're not going to keep it up. In Jesus' name.
And sister, why don't you look at me? I agree with that in the name of Jesus. I want you to look at me. I put a wall between you and evil, not around your heart. Because I break this wall that you're putting around your heart. You don't want to be a hardened woman. Okay? See, that's not the answer. All right? I ask for the Father to put a heart between you and the evil, all right? And if you don't receive those words, don't worry about it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you are a good mother. I don't know all the accusations, but I believe you. That's one that needs to be spoken right. I speak in the heavenlies. What's your name?
Ursula.
Ursula?
Ursula.
Ursula. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak in the heavenlies. Ursula is a good mother.
Amen.
And in the name of Jesus, I speak in the heavenlies. And I call all the angels necessary. You guys do the war. You do the spiritual warfare in the name of Jesus. But I bring his kids to be around their mother. And not be stolen away in the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for giving Ursula receive strength right now, okay? And you are a fine woman of God, okay? And it shines better smiling, all right? So let your heart come light. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings into your heart. I replace the betrayal with hope, okay? And just if I call you a dog, can you wag your tail? Hmm?
I'm dropping. Got one.
You ain't got one, right?
Yeah.
See? So every word that's said isn't always true. But you can waste all your life trying to wag your tail. You ain't got one. See? So that's the thing you got to remember about accusations. The other thing is don't worry about what people are saying. Because even tomorrow they won't remember what they said. So if you don't receive it, it has no authority. Okay? You just keep forgiving and praising God. And Father,
forget.
Yes. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak peace into my sister. I speak to her mind right now. Receive the thoughts of God in the name of Jesus. Bless her, Father, and give her strength in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, that we just dry up this well that pours up pity. We dry this well. And we just moisten this well and prime this well of grace, mercy, and peace and love and joy of the Lord to spring up. And I speak blessings into you, that you be blessed as you go in and come out, that your cupboards be full in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That wherever you turn, the Lord is in your face. And that wherever you are, his arm is around you.
Amen.
And that you can know it, and that you can take confidence in it. And that you don't have to concern yourself what others will say or think, because you know who you are in Christ. And you just keep your eyes on that. And you know what? Day is going to come that some man is going to be so blessed. And you are going to be the most precious thing that he's ever.
She's,
and
she has twins from, it's not you. That's okay.
They might as well be Monica.
Okay.
Because
you love them.
She's married to his son.
Okay. Well, we just call him back in the name of Jesus. Whatever the will of the Lord is,
but
not into destruction.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right? And just let your heart just let loose of those hurting spots. Okay? Just let loose of the habit of the hurt. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you start to hurt, you give joy and thanksgiving and you praise God in that pain, because that's a sacrifice. Okay? It's easy to praise it when everybody's dancing around. But when you're all alone and you're hurting and you're wondering about how to keep the food on the table and stuff, that's when you praise the Lord. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be with you. And everything's going to come back together with dynamics, all right?
Amen.
Can I also have you pray with my two girls?
Get them up here, please.
Real heart with everything that happened.
Come on, girls.
My son's bad. I don't think you'll get him up. Come on, kids.
And if there's people that got to leave, we understand. We know that the road is calling out. What's your name, son? Huh? Sean? God bless you, son. What's your name, huh?
Kelsey,
you're a powerful little girl. I seen you in operation the other night. This one, too. You're not too bad yourself.
You know?
What are you thankful for, son?
Well,
you better think of something quicker, and we'll put you on a chair and sit on you. I'm heavy. Be thankful I'm not going to sit on you. How's that? Can you be thankful for that? Huh? I love you. God bless you. What you thankful for?
God.
Okay. You, honey?
Just having her in my life.
All right. Hallelujah. Why don't you get around your mama? Get around your mama. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak unity into this clan right now. I speak peace. I speak appreciation. And I command that this devils of pity get out in the name of Jesus Christ and rejection. In the name of Jesus Christ, the joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And in the name of Jesus, we speak a merry heart. Right now. Just receive it. And you're so handsome when you smile. Let me see it. Let me see you handsome. Just about. Come on.
Do you want one?
No, he did. He cheated.
Kelsey don't.
Kelsey's a smiler. She's a spark plug. Spark plugs are good.
Amen. Well, pray for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. We love you, okay? Can I get hugs? Huh?
Amen.
Get over here, guy. God bless you, sis.
Honey, you get a warning.
All right, well, that's...
Pray for all of us here.
Amen, amen. Father, I speak freedom to every person here. In the name of Jesus, I send you out and I commission you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I commission you in agreement with Jesus.
Amen.
And if anybody feels like you've been accused, it's a lie from the devil. If you feel like you've been abused, it's a lie from the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, you've been loved. And in the name of Jesus Christ, victory is yours. Receive it, sister. Let the heart free, okay? Show us a smile. Come on. All right, there you go. That's a good one. Keep it going. Hallelujah. That's a better one. But Father, every one of us, look around to everybody. As you leave, this is what won't burn. Everything else burns. This is what we're going to see in eternity. That's remember one another. And that's lift one another up as we think of one another. It's been an honor to be here. It's been an honor to spend time with you. And I love every one of you. And I know sometimes I get a little sharp. Love me anyway, please. If I was wrong, forgive me. If you think I was wrong, forgive me. Okay? But let's walk out of here in a unity and agreement and faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wait for the food.
Okay. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the food is getting cold. But we send you out, and there's food in there, and God bless that food in the name of Jesus Christ. And God bless everybody, and hold fast to what you have received. A lot of what you've received is seed, and saplings are growing up. Don't let them be pulled up. In the name of Jesus, let it grow. In the name of Jesus, be different than you were when you came in. And every day forward, upward and onward, into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who resides and lives in us forever. And we thank God. And we thank you, Father, for your protection in this campground and breaking every stronghold that's set against Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Be broken this day in the name of Jesus. We have a cover over it. Pray for that cover this day, that these curses cannot land. No death curses, no accusation. No devils can get their way in here and get any root. That they be shriveled up and dried up before they get a grip. And those of you that live close, please keep them in your love. Come around, love them in the name of Jesus Christ, because they love you. And Father, I thank you for the things that aren't right to be made right. I thank you for the things that are right to remain right. And Father, we're all growing. And I just praise you for that, Father. And in the name of Jesus, we are all free. Don't go outside and pick up them dirty devils that have been shed, okay? In the name of Jesus, you are free. Stay free. And move forward and let the Lord minister. Continue to let him minister to you so you can minister to others. Every one of you are a minister. Every one of you got the ministry of reconciliation. And God gave you the word of reconciliation to carry out that ministry. And you know what ministry means? Way of serving. So if you're a gift minister, don't get too puffed up. Makes you a present. I have a ministry gift. Please, as you unwrap me, if you don't like it, don't kick it in the corner, okay? But we as gift ministers, having a gift ministry, we're only servants, all right? We're not elevated. You know, the one that's elevated is Jesus. And if we in our relationship work at things that way, then we will really see the Lord Jesus have authority. So let's go out with that kind of heart. And the first person that spits at you, don't worry about it, okay?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can handle it, okay? We are victors, right? In the name of Jesus. We go out in victory and strength. And we go out in the name of the Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.